The game of musical chairs in the quest for public office continues with the abrupt departure of Clayton Hee from the governor's race and the late entry of Ed Case into the Democratic congressional primary. Civil Beat's Nathan Eagle reports on the newly altered competitive landscape in today's reality check from Civil Beat. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning.
You know, I called it a competitive landscape, but one of the big stories is how much of it is not competitive, where so many are running unimposed, yeah?
You're absolutely right. I mean, in Democrat-dominated Hawaii, we've got, I think it was over two dozen that I had counted up at that point that are just completely unopposed in the primary.
Yeah, it's often been said in past elections that the Democratic primary is the real race, but maybe it's never been more true than it is now.
Yeah, I would agree.
What do you make of Ed Case's entry into the congressional primary?
I think he definitely reshapes the race. He's a familiar name, you know, having served in Congress before. He's stayed active. You know, he's with Outrigger now. It's a crowded field. It's pretty close already, you know. So we've got several, I think, well-qualified candidates with Doug Chin, Beth Fukumoto, Kaneohe Ng, Donna Kim, Ernie Martin. So when he comes in, I think he absolutely stands a chance. He's going to struggle, I think, a little bit to play catch-up with fundraising. But, yeah, count him in.
What about the Clayton Hee's departure from the governor's race? I mean, he obviously knew he was going against two well-funded opponents, and yet that was his stated reason. Is there more to it than that?
Well, yeah. So a different story a little bit there. I mean, he was polling well below Ige and Hanabusa for the Democratic primary. I think it was about 11% in our poll. So he had some serious ground to make up, if at all. He didn't think he had the funding to do so. So the question was more about who he would have taken votes from. A lot of folks indicated Hanabusa would have been more likely, and he even indicated that as well, with some of Ige's supporters apparently reaching out to him, urging him to stay in the race. So that one will now just be down to Ige and Hanabusa, and the winner, of course, will face either Carroll or Tupola, most likely.
Was he to some degree pushed out by the smear, the pack that went after him?
He rejected that. He said no, that didn't play a role in it, but certainly left a bad taste in his mouth with the super PACs jumping in like that.
It's not the first time we've seen a super PAC affect the election. Do you think we can expect to see more of, you know, what do you call them, mysteriously funded organizations affecting the upcoming election?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if not. I spoke to the head of the super PAC that had posted the signs up disparaging Clayton Hee, and they said, you know, expect more of those kind of signs. We'll see if that continues, but he is, you know, running for his old Senate seat now, so he's still going to be seeking office. I've also reported, you know, on other super PACs that I've seen forming, not active yet, but still a little bit early, I think, some that are connected to PRP and other groups that have been very active in the past and shaping, you know, for instance, the Honolulu mayoral race a while back.
Are super PACs kind of falling into a little bit of a gray area in terms of, I don't know, legality?
Maybe not legality so much, but funding and knowing who's contributing and how much and how they're spending that, that's a lot harder to see, in large part because of when the filing deadlines are. We're not going to get a good look at any of the money that's coming in and how it's being used until just a couple weeks before the primary on August 11th.
Well, that's a pretty interesting piece of information right there, isn't it? Thanks a lot, Nathan.
I appreciate the time.
Every day we bring you a reality check from Honolulu Civil Beat, today featuring reporter Nathan Eagle. To read the full story, visit civilbeat.org.